say to me, son, let me take away all your stress. Well, there's things that my people don't realize. There's news that I want them to know.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Coming to you live this June 9th, Saturday morning. From a beautiful radio ranch, blue skies, green grass, we welcome you. You, the remnant, we welcome the men on. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And again, we say good morning to you, the remnant, and we say good morning, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here, and we ask you to join us. Pull up a chair, pull up a cup of coffee, folks, and join us. We'll have the phone lines open in a little bit, and we'll ask John to open us up in prayer, and you know where we go from there, we'll just have to wait and see. Brother John?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day and every other day. Lord, we ask that you forgive us for the things that we take for granted, Lord, all the little things that so many people in the world don't have. Father, we ask for your continued grace and mercy, and that you'd find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. We ask that you would grant the patriarch of each household wisdom and understanding and discernment regarding the things that are going on. Lord, that we would be able to have an understanding, hearing, and hearkening heart, Father, that we would hear the Holy Spirit and that we would obey what it is that you are leading us to do. In many cases, it's safety, survival for us and our families. Father, hear your people as we continue to cry out, God save America again. Bring us to that place of humility where we put aside our own selfish wills, wants, and desires, and seek to do your will. That we not only say it, but we mean it. Here we are, Lord, use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? Father, bring us to that place of complete obedience where we love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Forgive us for falling asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel. And Father, we're still not out of the woods. We thank you for the second chance that you gave us. But Lord, we just ask that you would continue to remove the crust that's been placed upon your people's hearts from the world. And Father, give us a clean heart. Bring us to that place of humility, Father, where we hit our knees and we cry out for grace and mercy. Father, continue to send your guardian angels and your warring angels to battle Leviathan in the high places and all these places of government. We thank you for the answer to the prayers, Lord, that we see that the things in the dark are continuing to be brought to the light, and that those that hate you and hate your people are outraged and gnashing their teeth, just as your word said, as their empire continues to crumble. Well, Father, those antichrist globalists will not back down without a fight. So we ask that you would give us the faith that we need, the wherewithal that we need to continue to stand in the gap, Father. May the verse in Ezekiel never be so, Lord, that you looked for someone to stand in the gap and could find no one. Father, let this ragtag group of true Christian followers of Jesus Christ, the Jedi, Jesus' disciples, be those that stand in the gap. And Father, continue to thwart evil. Continue to provide the prayer cover for victory. Guide and direct our thoughts today. Give us wisdom and understanding as to what it is that's important for your people to hear, and convict your people all across the country and throughout the world of what it is that we need to discuss, to be aware and to be prepared for the things that are coming. We just praise you and we love you, and Father, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for the promise that in the last days knowledge would increase. We thank you for the living word, Lord, that will continue to deliver truth to your people as long as we continue to seek it out. Father, I ask specifically for a special anointing to be upon those that seek to do your will, Lord. Give them the words that your people need to hear, and prepare your people's hearts and minds and souls to receive the truths that you've revealed in these last days. Protect your people, Lord, when these disasters come, when these tornadoes and these volcanoes and earthquakes, and Father, let those who are obedient to you, let their property be unharmed, Lord, and let their families be unharmed. And let those that would not have you rule over them come to destruction if they will not come to repentance. And it's in Jesus' holy, precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to call in. Lots going on, things going on that we have not seen in our lifetime. Got a text requesting prayer this morning. Jason, I'm going to ask you to pray, if you would. Our brother Patrick said he's feeling a little anxiety. He's at a competitive prairie dog shoot, and he didn't get a chance to sight in his rifle. And he asked if we would offer up a prayer. And I thought, no, I don't know anybody better to pray for something like that than you. So if you'd offer up a prayer for Patrick, I think that'd be appropriate.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do lift up Patrick, and we just ask, Father, for you to be with him with this anxiety issue. We turn it over to you and ask, Father, for you to do a work there in his life and for him to find that comfort that he needs in you. And we pray, Father, that he can shoot straight and that that you just guide and direct his bullets today, Father, why he's at that chute. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. One of the headlines a lot of people missed this last week was the Supreme Court ruled in the case of our Baker friend down in Baker Jack Phillips down in Colorado, down in Denver, that the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in his favor. And this was a quote I just wanted to share with you to let you know the I think there's part of it is a double-mindedness that is part of what's out in the land today that our pastor taught on. But we've been talking about how things have been better. Perfect? No. Completed? No, but better. And this was a quote from one of the Supreme Court justices. It says, when the Colorado Civil Rights Commission considered this case, meaning when they brought this case against Jack Phillips, they did not do so with the religious neutrality that the Constitution requires. But then they go on and say, we're not setting a precedent. We're not changing law, but we're just saying that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission was wrong in coming against Baker Jack Phillips. And if we remember the case, he was not going to, nor has he, made a cake for these homosexual marriages. Has great cakes, and but he stood on his Christian grounds that he was not going to be a part of this sin. As simple as that. And if you've ever seen interviews with him, that's basically where it seems like he stands. And it's gone to the United States Supreme Court, and they ruled in his favor. Anyway, just thought I'd mention that.
And God rewarded him for that too. I think Jason's actually been down there to that bakery, and there's lines out the door typically of people who are supporting him for taking that stand. But like you said, it's double-minded. The Supreme Court, I don't think they can rule in the favor of Christians being able to choose not to provide services to the LGBT, because that's such a big piece of the puzzle of the New World Order.
Sure.
Without that piece of the puzzle, without that mandating of sin being acceptable in the land, they take a big, huge blow against their New World Order plans. Because here, I read this morning, an Arizona court okay with forcing Christians to violate faith. Three judges in an Arizona court, and then they list the judges, said that artists who provide portraits and things like that for weddings and hand-painted portraits and things like that were ordered that they cannot violate LGBT rights by refusing to do these wedding portraits and things like that. So by no means is the battle over. In fact, I believe that the battle with that the older lady in Washington that we've talked about a couple of years ago with the florist, she's a florist designer that refused to do same-sex marriage as well. I believe that case is going to the Supreme Court next, and that'll be interesting to see how they try to twist that one too.
It will be there. One more quote I just wanted to share here, because it lets you know the you know, we've learned here since the beginning of this ministry, pastors taught, we are in a battle, a spiritual warfare, and the people don't realize it. But here's a quote from the Colorado Civil Rights Commission regarding their hostility towards Baker Phillips' religious views. Language that they used, including a commissioner's words, that, and this is the quote, that religious views are, quote, one of the most despicable pieces of rhetoric that people can use. And this is not addressed at Muslims and Islam. This is not addressed at Shintoism. This is addressed to Christianity. And that these Colorado Civil Rights Commissioners' views are that Christianity's views are one of the most despicable views that people can have. And you know, again, we've talked about that line being drawn in the sand, and it's just being drawn broader and broader and deeper, that there are these people that look at the Bible, that look at the Word of God, that look at those that, seems like we read somewhere Jesus said that the world hated him and hated him without a cause. And if we follow him, if we are truly his disciples, his followers, we take his teachings and apply it in our life. If we do that the world will hate us. And here is the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, by their own words, hating Christians and anybody that follows or tries to follow a Christian ethic. It shows their warped sense of understanding. But it shows
that you can see too how the leadership in Colorado for the last probably 16 years, the last two governors have changed this state from a conservative state when I moved here 25 years ago to the liberal state that it was. I mean, Boulder, Colorado, a small city from small town here, has always been liberal. It's been more of the Silicon Valley kind of California type people, but the rest of the state for the most part was conservative. And it's been the governorship over the last 16 years that has changed this state from a quote Republican conservative state to a liberal antichrist state in a lot of ways. But there's still, I mean, there's probably, it's close, I bet, to 50-50, kind of what the country is anymore, I think, in this state, as far as still God-fearing people who want to serve the Lord, who, at least in title, still call themselves Christians. But we have an opportunity here coming up in November as well to try to put a governor in there that has some Christian values, and that's one of the things that I think it's very important that we try to follow these local elections as well. And I think Jason actually could probably share a little bit about going to one of the local city council meetings. And I don't think we even have to say anything. All we have to do is be there with our presence, the presence of the light in the midst of the dark, and just pray for those guardian angels and those warring angels to battle Leviathan. And we haven't done that in the past, I don't think. And if we start winning these local elections, then it's a trickle-up effect. You know, eventually we'll start to see a change. Because as the people's hearts change and as the people's minds change towards the Christianity and more moral thinking, we'll start to see a change in the small towns and then the cities and then the states and then, you know, the whole country, and then, Lord willing, you know, even the whole world. So that was my thoughts. Jason, you could probably share a little bit about going to those city council meetings.
Yeah, I believe it's just like what you said. I said sometimes you don't have to say anything. You don't have to, it's just your presence. It's I think that it's a good idea if somebody gets the chance, and they go there and they can, anoint a building. You don't have to go around the building. You don't have to anoint all the corners of it. You can anoint that, one drop of oil on that building. I believe that makes a huge difference. I believe going there and standing in a corner and praying, I believe that makes a difference. I mean, there is a difference. You go to start going to these city council meetings, I don't care where you are, in what part of the country you are, you go to them, and it is, you look at those people, and it's a different people. They have a different spirit. It's like they're an alien race trying to take over. They've got an agenda behind them. They're there for a reason. And it's happening all across this country, and they're the ones that are trying to control this the country. They're trying to decide what businesses they want to dictate is what they want, is a dictatorship. They're complete communists. They want to dictate what kind of businesses come into town, where they go into town, their hours of operation, what they can do, how many employees they can have. If you read the handwriting on the wall, you can tell that there's a lot of back scratching going on there too. I think it's important for people to go to some of these things. You know, you don't really necessarily have to get involved. I've looked at the politics on it and everything, and it's really, to tell you the truth, it's nothing that I want to be involved in. And as far as running it, but at the same time, we got to do something to fight back what is being done in our cities and in our towns and in our counties and in our states. And I think that's a good place that people can start.
Amen. And we are to be doers. I like how you guys put it. It's not that you have to go and be the county commissioner. You don't have to run and be the mayor. That's not what they're talking about. You don't have to go and even go up front and speak. If you're led to do that, by all means, do that. But I like how you put that, Jason. You know, go and stay in your seat or stand in the back and pray and invite the Holy Spirit in there, because ungodly spirits are more than likely being invited in there. And like you said, Jason, these aliens, these people that think different, that have different DNA, that have a different desire, they didn't come to that. They're not the builders that our pastor taught on. They're not the builders of society, the builders and the public servants that the position was created to be. That's not what the majority of these people are anymore. They are the destroyers, and they work under the guise of creating and building. And we're welcoming businesses in, and we're passing laws to protect. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're passing laws to pad their pockets. They're passing laws to make it harder for especially Christians, people wanting to just to kind of live and let live and work and be productive members of society. Know that it's against those type of people. But to be in the back and pray and to invite the Holy Spirit in and to pray against those things and with imprecatory prayer. What is it? Luke 10:19 says we have all power and authority over these enemies. Exercise it.
I think it's important. When they ask you, too, what are you doing there? I mean, I think one of the best responses would be, I'm keeping evil in check.
And that put them on notice, doesn't it?
Yeah. But the reality is, what's going on in a lot of these municipalities, I've said for years, and most people can see it, but the stimulus bill, $1.whatever trillion it was, it's all funny money anymore anyways, but all of that money was used against the American people in surveillance against the American people and against the freedom of American people. And what's happened is all that money has been offered up in grants and things like that to these small towns if they'll do what they want. And it's basically promoting Agenda 21, which is now Agenda 30, I believe. But it's about when you start to see your roads and all of a sudden, wait a minute, this was a four-lane road and now it's got a turning lane down the middle that's wider than one lane so that they can put a bike lane on either side. Well, I believe the ultimate design is to piss people off to the point, or to at least tick them off to a point where they start riding their bikes because that's what they want. You know, the globalists that promote the New World Order and promote global warming and all that, that's their agenda. Their agenda is that you don't live in a rural area. You don't live in a house of the size that they want. You live in stack and pack housing, and you use their public transportation, and you go to work and you serve them.
That's right.
The end goal.
That's right. Just like in China, just like in Europe now. They plan on there being so many people, and the people are coming in from invading. The people here aren't having children. The people in our circles are, but as a whole, we're not. But they plan on there being so many people there that there's not room for vehicles. That you have to walk or ride a bike or take the public transportation.
I've told this story before, but they built a huge apartment complex. The city owns right along this new big bus corridor that runs all the way through the city. And their goal was, well, we're not going to put any parking because we don't want to promote all of these cars being driven on, you know, into the city and parked in these parking garages. Well, the funny thing was that they couldn't rent an apartment. I mean, they could rent very few. And so they ended up having to buy the land next to them, which they paid an extravagant amount of money. And it was in a floodplain, which took a extravagant amount of money to mitigate and build a parking garage just so that they could make this building that they built somewhat viable. So, I mean, as of right now, their plans aren't Scott's still thwarting their plans because there's probably still some out there that are continuing to pray against the demonic forces of hell that are working in every single corner of the country and the world to cause destruction.
Right. Yeah, and you look at the larger cities and see what the public transportation has done there. When they put in these MARTA rails, you know, Mass Area Regional Transit Authorities, when they put these in, it's just, like you said, it's a funny money deal, and it's a way for more people to pad their pockets. They're always way over budget, always, always. And then they're horrendous. They're similar to the subway systems. I think about the MARTA years ago driving, or not driving, but riding in the MARTA trains around Atlanta, fly into Atlanta, and you had to, you know, take the train maybe to downtown or something like that. And it's like the train that's down in Denver. And you took your life into your own hands when you rode those things. Gangs and thugs and it not safe at all. And I don't know of many of those types of public transportation systems that are. You know, they promote them as being safe and well and all that. And we've reported before on the, they put cameras in out in California to keep the gangs from beating people up and killing and stealing. And all that did was give them their picture. Doesn't do anything to deter the crime. But it's portrayed, you know, to the public that this is going to work. This is going to make it safe.
Yeah, like I said, I've lived here 25 years in Colorado, and the main thoroughfare from all of the Front Range cities to Denver to the airport and things like that is I-25, and it's been two lanes both ways all that time, and it's been talked about for probably 20 years on how it needs to be widened. And, you know, it's not because of money that it's not being widened. It's because of their agenda that it's not being widened. But the other day, it's like, do people not, I mean, you know, they're asleep. They're in a slumber. It's a spell that's been cast. But on the news, you know, public news, they're saying, well, the state of Colorado was awarded $65 million from the federal government. Well, there's $65 million out of thin air because the federal government's $20 trillion in debt. So, you know, I sit in some of these meetings with some of the regional transportation authorities and things like that, am I the only one that's sane in this room? Because where's the federal government getting this $65 million to give to Colorado to improve their roads? Well, then out of the other side of the mouth, the transportation authority says, well, we're going to build one lane. We're going to add one lane each way between Castle Rock, which is south of Denver, and Denver. And it's going to be a toll lane, and you have to pay to use those lanes. Okay, well, where did the $65 million go then? You know, and nobody even thinks anymore. It's just, it's a matrix is what it is.
Yeah, no kidding. And they're getting people more and more conditioned, too, to ride their bikes. I mean, it's like there's the bikies. People that get into that and start doing that every day, nothing wrong with working out or doing something like that, but I'll tell you what, the ones that we got around here, there's something wrong with them in the head. You know, I was just sitting by my truck the other day at the hardware store, and which is you know, less than a block away from the church, you know, a quarter block away from the church. I was over at the church mowing the grass, and I threw a lawnmower and some stuff on the back of my flatbed truck, and I drove it down there, and I went inside to get a sprinkler and some stuff, and I come out, and then two people are sitting there on their bikes, and they're like, why do you have to drive a truck? And I'm like, I thought they were joking at first. I'm like, what do you mean? And you're like, this is diesel, and it's polluting our environment.
Were they young people, Jason?
No, they were in their 50s. Both of them were in their 50s. And, you know, riding bikes and their spandex and their helmets and all this kind of stuff. And I just looked at them and I'm like, you know, I said, well, number one, I said, I'm a working man. And I said, and I started to say something and I'm like, you know what? I don't owe you an explanation for nothing. And,
yeah, stand on it and smoke them out.
It's like, why in the world, why do I have to answer to somebody on a bike on why I drive a truck? I mean, it just hit me, and it's like, this is the most ridiculous. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to tell them because I don't owe them an explanation. It's supposed to be a free country. Well, you know what? If I want to drive a truck, I can drive a truck.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, my son Levi, this is where we're at in this country. It's sad to say, but my son Levi volunteered to help with basketball in FCA, which is Fellowship for Christian Athletes, which is a good cause. They try to bring Christ into the public school systems, and so far they haven't been able to stop them in most of them. And they get together at lunchtime and things like that and share the Bible and provide them like a pizza or something like that. But this was... So he's got this young group that he's trying to mentor, and he's supposed to be a huddle leader, they call it. But so you're basically, you're supposed to help them with their skills in the sport, but you're also supposed to share the gospel. Basic stories, you know, pick a basic story, Jonah or Moses or Noah or whatever. And, because some of these kids have never even heard any of this stuff. Well, he pulls up in his diesel truck, and about half those kids are like, well, why do you drive a truck, you know? Don't you know that diesel ruins the environment? And he's thinking, what? And then then he starts, they start slamming Trump on some things, you know, these kids. And he's like, well, do you even know what you're talking about? And you can see that they've been indoctrinated. But yes, that's pretty scary, really, when you think about it, that this younger generation is so indoctrinated that they really have no idea what's really going on in the world. And these are, you know, and they're supposedly already somewhat, you know, in the faith. These kids, they're not just atheists that are going to these Christian camps. These are supposedly kids that they probably attend, you know, the local Judeo-Christian church or something. But, you know, a lot of those have become indoctrination bins, too, towards the New World Order, towards all of these lies. I mean, I can think of a couple pastors right now that I had the pleasure of riding down with one to an FCA event, and he was just livid that Trump won. And I was kind of promoting it the whole way down there. And, man, I tell you what, you could feel the tension in that car like there was no tomorrow. And but he couldn't really dispute the things that I was saying. And I go, you know, I was trying to tell him, I said, I don't know how you can be supportive of Hillary Clinton, who's probably the most supportive or instrumental, her and her husband, in making abortion legal, and worse than that, you know, late term abortion. So all of these things, they don't want to hear that. All they want to hear is about the environment. They want to hear the feel good things, but that's the people that are attending these churches. That's the, you know, there's mega churches. There's no spirituality there. There's no truth there. There's no reprimanding. There's no repentance there. There's nothing but tickling the ears. But those are the churches that are surviving, and these little churches all across the land are dying.
Well, and if they've did some polls lately on do public schools indoctrinate children, and 97% of the people say yes, and 3% of them say no.
What was that on?
That was on if public schools indoctrinate children. They did some polls lately, and they wanted to know, do people think, and this was to parents that have children in public schools, and they said, do the public schools, in the curriculum that they're teaching now, indoctrinate children? And 97% of the people said yes, and 3% of them said no.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's becoming more and more evident.
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah.
Heard a heartbreaking.
Oh, well, I mean, that shows you that people are waking up to what's going on, too. But, I mean, they're waking up to a degree as maybe they're recognizing it, But are they really willing to do anything about it? Do they still have their children there? Are they trying to indoctrinate them? Are they trying to indoctrinate them with a better doctrine? I mean, you know, it's one of those deals.
Yeah, but look at you can turn back and see that the first thing that had to happen was they had to enslave the family. They had to make it to where in most cases, that the wife has to work too. And all the schools have become our daycares, and babysitters, and they've dropped their children off for 8 hours a day or whatever to have the school educate them and to raise them, and that's why we're in the situation that we are.
Oh, yeah. It is. The thought occurs to me, I'm not sure where it is, but the Bible talks about older women teach the younger women to do what? To love their husbands, to love their children. And we think sometimes, why would women have to teach other women to do that? And it's for that very reason, John, because the women have lost their natural affection, their love for their children, because they've been indoctrinated. They've been taught, and their parents were taught, and their parents were taught that this is what you do. You have your 1.4 children, and as soon as you get your 6 or 8 weeks of maternity leave, you stick them in. You find a good daycare is the terminology. You find a loving, caring place that you can afford, and you put them in. And then they're in daycare up until they're in school. Then they're in school. Then they're in school forever. Up until their mid-20s. Well, that's what you do. And you live your life, and you drop your child off and pick them back up, and that's just the way it is. And it's not the way God intended it.
It's a rarity these days for parents not to have older children that have gone to school, taken stupid classes, got dumb degrees and worthless degrees, and now they're back at home living in their basements.
Yes.
I mean, I remember I saw last week there was a 33-year-old young man who moved back in with his parents after he had gone to school for 8 years or whatever, and the parents threw him out because he's worthless, and the kid's suing the parents for throwing him out.
Yeah.
And he'll probably win.
Yeah.
But
well, you remember
it shows where we're at.
Right. We talked, it was a few years ago, about the young lady that sued her parents, to pay for her college, because it was, that's her right, is the way she looked at it. And that's the way she was indoctrinated. Well, your parents have to pay for you to go to this fancy school. That's all there is to it. And when they wouldn't, she sued them. And it is ludicrous. It is absolute, like you said, John, are you the only sane one in these meetings? It is insanity. I had Brother Tim on the radio Thursday night, and we talked about work ethic. It was kind of on my mind, and we talked about how we're seeing a change in the work ethic. These students are, when all of us were in school, between grades, you worked. John, you mentioned that in this last Dragon Slayer newsletter about how, you always worked, and we always did, even before we were 18, and then it's working, early and late and weekends, and because that good, strong work ethic was instilled into us, and it was forced upon us, you might say, but it was taught us. We were taught from an early age that that's what you did. And now the summers, well, the kids in school, they have to study, and they have to do sports, and they have so much other stuff. They can't work, so mom and dad pay, cover them through the summers. They get out of high school, and they just go to college. Mom and dad are paying for it. They don't have a job over the summer. I noticed that. I had a chance to eat lunch with Jason one day this week, and we went down to not far from the university, and I was surprised at all the college age youth that were in there over the summer, and maybe they're taking summer school, I don't know, but I was surprised that the number that were in there, that there weren't fewer that were out working, but these college age students are in there drinking and you know, they're just having a blast. They're not on lunch break. But then these students, they go through 4, 6, 8 years of college to where they are in their mid-20s, and they've never had a job. They've never had to get up early and be there and work with different personalities of employers and maybe do a job over the summer that they really didn't want to do, but they had to do it to pay the bills. And those people that have had to do that, they have learned so much more than just that college education. But it's just a whole change of the entire work ethic. To where, you don't need a job till you're, mid-20s, late-20s, till you've had your 4, 6, 8 years of higher learning, of college, piled high and deeper.
I think one of the...
These people are going to be in for a rude awakening.
One of the tools of the enemy, too, has been credit cards.
Yes.
At least when you had money, I can remember when I was... younger and you needed a little bit of money maybe to go to a movie, or you needed a little bit of money to go out with your friends or something like that. Your parents would maybe peel off a couple dollars out of their wallet, and you could see that it was something tangible,
right?
But now especially these college kids, they have credit cards, and they don't have anything but credit cards. Other than now, it's even worse. They got it on their stinking phone. You see these kids every morning. They'll spend $4, $5, $6, $7, $8 on a stinking specialty coffee drink, and they'll just, show them their phone, and they scan their phone or something, and sometimes that doesn't work, and they're turning it upside down and left and right, standing on their head, whatever it takes to try to make it work, and then they almost have anxiety attacks because their stinking phone won't register for their cup of coffee. I mean, that's where we're at in the country. Can you imagine that? And those are the ones that are somewhat going into the military and trying to defend the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But at least with cash, I still try to pay with cash because with me, it's something, it's tangible. Even at the gas station, we're paying, and I think that's how they got away with robbing us too in every which way but loose, is the fact that everybody's using credit cards, and it's not like it used to be. When you had to peel that money out, if you had to peel $100 out of your wallet to fill your truck with diesel, it'd be a little different than just swiping your card.
Right.
And I think the enemy's done a great job with that. That said, there'd be a, he used to say, and he's 100% right, there'd be a revolution overnight. If you were paid out at the end of the week in cash for all of your work without any of the deductions that are automatically withdrawn, and then you had to hand back, here's my FICA, here's my Social Security, here's my workman's comp, here's my retirement, all that, and all of a sudden now you got two-thirds, if you're lucky, of what you had, what you actually earned, there would be a revolution overnight. But see, the enemy knows that.
They do.
And I think that's why they make it easier and easier. And it's also more leading, in my opinion, towards the mark of the beast. These kids would love nothing more, because they've been indoctrinated into the fact that, put a chip in my hand. I don't have to use my phone. I don't have to use a credit card. All I got to do is swipe my hand. I'll put it in my forehead. The heck?
That's right. It won't be forced upon them. They will beg for it. They will line up and pay for it. How much longer will it be to where, when parents have a child, when they have their 1.4 children, which is about the average of what the white American is having these days, for an extra $100 while you're here in the hospital, we'll just go ahead and put a chip in, and you can just update it. You can always keep track of them. You'll never lose them. They can never, all that stuff. We see it in the movies, and our pastor taught that's a part of warfare, part of the rules of the spiritual warfare that we're in, is that the enemy has to tell you what they're doing, or tell you what they've done or what they want to do. And they do that in their movies. How many times do we see, the chips, whether it's in the hand or in the arm or, in the neck or something. And it's tracking device. You see this in the movies, and we are seeing that to where the people will pay for that. They have become so indoctrinated that they'll pay for that chip. Oh, you mean I don't have to worry about losing my phone? I don't have to worry about, nope, you'll always have it with you. And so you don't have to worry about that at all. That's like those automatic withdrawals. Hey, we'll automatically take the money for your insurance out of your account. We'll automatically take your house payment, your car payment, and everything out. You don't have to worry about anything. And the people just go, oh, that's great. That's great. I'll just
sit here. Money runs out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, then they just borrow more. The people, they are in this stupor that they just think everything is good. And it's nothing new under the sun. I think it's that same, you mentioned it again, either this newsletter or the last one, that Egyptian mentality. You have people that when you talk to them about that, the wandering in the wilderness, how could the children of Israel do that? Going back to that Bible story, how could they, have seen these miracles of God and still just want to go back to Egypt? Oh, at least we had graves in Egypt. At least we had onions in Egypt. And it was because they had too much that Egypt was still in them. So much that,
yep,
that they couldn't get it out of them, and so they didn't get out of the wilderness. And that's the same mentality that I think we see today, is that it's that world. Well, we have to go this way. We have to, we have to have the advances in technology. The phone pay is huge. It is huge, and I think it is a step towards, like you said, John, that chip.
Sort of heartbreaking story this week. A family that it hit me hard because their children are the same age as my children, real close to it. And my children grew up playing in intramural sports with this family. And this family, I'd say they're lukewarm at best as far as Christianity. You know, they may go to church an hour or two a week or whatever, but it means nothing. And the sad thing is the mother was just beside herself, and the daughter, who's my daughter's age, a little 1 year less, I guess, she says, my oldest daughter's a whore. My middle son, who played with my middle son in flag football and things, is addicted to drugs, addicted to pornography and illicit sex, and vaping and huffing, whatever that is. I don't even know what that is. I think it's inhaling drugs. But anyways, and my youngest daughter, same as my youngest daughter, is heading down the same road as my oldest daughter, and she's beside herself. And so this was kind of anonymously told to me, but I could figure out who it was. And I contacted the father, and I just said, you know what? I said, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. I said, I'm praying that the Lord Jesus Christ cancels any satanic assignments that may have been sent against you or your family. And I'm praying to forbid the enemy from operating in your life or your children's life. And I'm pleading the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over you and your family. But you, as a patriarch, have a responsibility to be doing these things every day. And you need to figure out what it takes to break those conduits to demons, to close those doors that your son and your daughter have opened up, and to redeem them and to bring them back from this lost state that they're in, back into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your job. And he received it with tears in his eyes. And that's, I think that's our purpose. That's what we're to do. We're to try to one person at a time, one family at a time. We need to redeem them. We need to pull them up out of the pit. And God said we can do it. He said, greater things than this you will do. And we need to be doing it.
Absolutely.
And whether or not he does it, I don't know. But at least I know one thing. When you read Ezekiel 3:17-19, it says, if you see someone living wickedly and you don't warn them to turn from their wicked ways and they die, then their blood's on you. But if you warn them and you teach them and you show them the things that you've been shown, and then they decide to forego it, to not follow the teaching that you've provided, then their blood's on them. And the blood of their children will be on them if they're not willing to be those patriarchs and those leaders that God appointed us to be. Those children aren't ours. They're just given to us as we're to be the stewards of them, and we're to bring them up in the proper way. And until these parents start to realize that, you know, it's Hosea 4:6.
Oh, it absolutely
is. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And because they've forgotten their God, then God has forgotten their children. But there's still a chance to redeem them. God gives us a chance up until that last day. And that's the things that we need to share. Those are the important things. And I'm praying every day that, Lord willing, I want this family redeemed. I want them brought back into the fold. I want the scales removed from their eyes. I want their ears unstopped. I want the crust that's on their heart to be removed. And I want them all to turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. You know, Hosea 4 starts out saying, listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. And that could be, listen to the word of the Lord, you families in America today. It goes on and says, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. And so, and that's what leads up to Hosea 4:6. That is what, you're right, John, that's what the people need to see. They need to understand, and of course, that's what Pastor preached on his whole life. That's what he preached on, was that turn back to God. Look here, this is why, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land, but there is swearing and deception and murder and stealing and adultery and violence and bloodshed follows bloodshed. The land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes. Yeah, that family languishes. There has to be a repentance. That is the only, you know, realizing, seeing this, seeing that, you know, that was Gideon's strength. We read there where in Judges, you know, when Gideon saw that, he realized that it was God that had done, that had caused the aliens to be in the land. It is God that had caused them, you know, to pour across the southern border and to come in and to take their jobs and to oppress them. He realized it was God because of their sin. He realized it was God that had done it because God keeps his word, and the angel tells him, go in this your strength. And his strength was that truth. That truth, because God keeps his word. Like you read, you forget the law of your God, God will forget your children. That's not given in pride. That's given in love. That is how it is. Whether those 50-year-old bikers in spandex that are chastising Jason about a truck, whether they want to believe it or not, whether families want to believe it or not, that is the way it is. But the good news, what's the good news that goes with that? If you remember the law of your God, God will remember your children. When we return, 2 Chronicles 7:14, when we humble ourselves and pray and return to him, what does he do? Then he listens. Then he comes. Then he heals. But only then. Only then.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, one of the things that was pretty sickening was I saw the Democrats to let same-sex couples buy children. So basically what you got going on in Washington State is a piece of legislation. Let's see if I can find the name of it. It's called Bill ESSB 6037, called the Uniform Parentage Act. And it's asserting changes that essentially will allow same-sex couples, wealthy same-sex couples, to enter into a legal contract with a surrogate mother to purchase that child for tens of thousands of dollars. So basically, what some of the Republicans are calling it is, so what you're saying is that this bill is a rent-a-womb policy. And I mean, how low have we gotten?
Tell me that's not slavery all over again. you know, when you got them on the auction block, because that's how it's going to be. You get the women that parade out there, and somebody tells you about their womb. Oh, this woman can have this type of child, and or like buying horses or cattle. And the people don't see that.
Where it's headed, but it's the value of human life, you know. It's all coming down to where wealth is at the top and human life is at the bottom of the spectrum.
Yeah. Amen. Well, guys, we're about out of time. Wow, the hour goes fast. There must be something to that. Time flies. Because it sure seems to here on Saturday mornings. Well, Remnant, we thank you for joining us. We will invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. And if you're going to come in person, we'd sure appreciate a phone call, just so we know. But you can join us at scriptures4america.org. You can click right on the website and click on the live video stream starting at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 Eastern. And that's 7:30 out on the California coast. And join us. And we'll have a little bit of everything for you. Some reviews. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth. The prophecies that are put out, the warnings that are put out in these messages that were preached years ago, we see them coming true today. We truly do, more and more. And so we'll have that. Brother John will be there with a live message. We'll have communion. Got another new song for you from Brother Marlon. So looking forward to that. Hope we can get that in the program tomorrow. Have that ready to go, and so we encourage you to join us. Don't forsake the assembly. You know, it's kind of like eating. You probably don't remember what you had for lunch every day, you know, for the last however long. But you needed that lunch. You needed that food to nourish you, to help you grow, to get you by every day. And that's how gathering with the saints, that's how coming to church, even if it's on the internet, that's what that does for you. It nourishes, it feeds, it helps you get realigned with the Word of God. It does. And it's needed. It truly is. So we welcome you and ask you to join us at church tomorrow. And again, you can do that at scriptures4america.org. Well, guys, we're out of time, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.